Okay, big screen time. Paul Whittington from the Indo. Paul, what's happening in terms of cinema this weekend?
Dave, do you remember us talking about the documentary RBG just after Christmas? Yeah, which was good, actually.
Well, it was good. It was very straightforward.
Yeah, it was also very partisan. It was very pro Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Kind of would be. Anyway, tell me who she is and what about her.
Well, she's a remarkable woman. She's a Supreme Court judge still. She's in her mid-80s, late 80s. And she has been a champion of sort of liberal causes in America. She's either loved or loathed, depending on who you ask. She's called the Notorious B.I.G. by her fans. She helped get rid of legalized sex discrimination, basically, in the workplace. She's done loads of stuff. She's an amazing woman. This is the story of her young life. And
one of these situations behind every successful woman, I believe in this case, is a very good man.
There is a very decent man, Marty Ginsburg, who's played here by Armie Hammer, who's a lovely kind of presence behind Felicity Jones, isn't it, who plays... the young Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who goes to Harvard Law School in the mid-1950s and only about five or six other women in a class of 500 men.
Well, we're not talking the documentary, we're talking On the Basis of Sex.
We are talking the drama, yeah.
How many years in her life is this, do you think?
Well, it's probably maybe 15 to 20 years.
Okay.
And so it starts at Harvard on her first day. Sam Waterston, who seems to specialise in playing kind of entitled baddies these days, he's the dean of law, and he asked her on her first day to justify why she should take a place that would otherwise be occupied by a man. That's what she's up against.
Well,
she's a very good student.
Mid-50s,
yeah. Right. She's a very good student. She meets Marty there. They get married. They have a kid. She graduates. When he gets sick, he gets, I think it was testicular cancer he got. He recovered from it. She did his studies as well. Very clever person. Afterwards, though, she can't get a job. The law firms won't hire women. So she ends up teaching the law at Rutgers for a good decade. But then Marty comes up with this case, which he thinks is interesting, which may be a kind of Trojan horse into the whole sex discrimination thing. It's a man who's looking after his elderly mother. Because he's a man and he's not married, he's not entitled to the grant that a woman would be entitled to. This is sexual discrimination, sex discrimination. And obviously the biggest problem with sex discrimination is not men but women, but this
very
is going to be
already.
The way, and it's very clever. And so she takes the case on, and it's really about her her struggle with her own sort of confidence. Although the real Ruth Bader Ginsburg says the only thing she didn't agree with in this film was that she pauses and is overcome when she gives her first speech. Of course, she says she wasn't, but
this is for dramatic effect.
Yeah, it's for dramatic effect, and there's plenty of that. But it's Mimi Leder directed this. It's pretty ordinary to look at. It looks like a TV miniseries, but
that doesn't mean it's not engrossing.
No, it is engrossing, and it's very well acted. It tells its story well. It doesn't shy away from the legal complexities. It's got mixed reviews. I actually thought it's a strong film. If you want to know who she is, here she is, and she's an incredible person.
And Kathy Bates is there somewhere along the way.
Kathy
too,
Bates plays a kind of a veteran feminist who has tried this before and failed, and sort of, you know, gives her a kind of pep talk. But really, the film is Felicity Jones and Hammers, who's this lovely, the real Marty. This is in the 50s and 60s in America.
He died about 6 or 7 years ago, didn't he?
He did. She's still going strong. But he looked after the kids, he cooked the dinners, and he was a very clever tax lawyer himself. But he was so supportive of her, and that was unusual, to put it mildly, in that time.
And it doesn't matter that it's not, as you would call it, necessarily cinematic.
No.
It's engrossing.
It is, absolutely, yeah.
Right, it works.
Yeah.
Okay, On the Basis of Sex is what it's called.
Yeah.
And that's, what do you call her? Felicity Jones in the title, or Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay.
Cold Pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of unwelcome pre-publicity because of Big Liam's overshare at the press conference a few weeks ago.
For God's sake.
Yeah, well, I think he has been left alone. It seems to have hurt the film's box office a bit, maybe in America.
Well, they called off some red carpety kind of things, didn't they?
They did, and they're saying it didn't perform that well. I think it's performed okay. I think it might do well here. People
taking on a snowplow.
Yeah, except it's not at all. And that's what I thought too. In the first 20 minutes, I thought, yeah, it is taken on a snowplow. And it's a good line, Dave. But it's not at all. And in fact, some critics seem to be missing the point of it entirely. It's a remake of a Norwegian film, Hans-Peter Mollen's film, In Order of Disappearance. And it starts out as a straightforward revenge thriller. He plays the snowplow driver, as you've said. And there are some lovely snowplow scenes. I love to drive one, actually. And then his son is killed, and so he gets upset about this, and the bodies start piling up. It's a drug gang are responsible. But then it turns into this satire, and it becomes
satire
very funny.
On what?
Well, a satire on this genre, on the genre that Liam Neeson has made so much money out of. A satire on kind of Western values. The Native American a gang turn up as well, and there's this brilliant scene where they go to a ski resort in the mountains that were once theirs, and their very presence makes a mockery of this kind of plush resort. There's loads of going on in this film. It's very funny, and it is not at all what you would expect, and maybe that's why some people are put off by it, but I thought it was great fun. It's worth a watch.
Wait a minute, so it's great fun. It's not like a total revenge thing of any one of the
no.
people.
No, I mean, there is the violence, but the violence, you're almost dared to take the violence seriously because it's kind of cartoonish. It's really, it's much more than the sort of Taken films that he's done.
And the more works for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice,
I think it's a very nice film, actually. It really surprised me.
Okay, that's Cold Pursuit with Liam Neeson. Yeah.
Yes. Capernaum.
Capernaum, yeah.
Nadine Labiki, who I don't know if what was it called? It was a Lebanese film about 10 years ago, and it was she was a hairdresser in it, and she was really good in it. She's a very interesting director. This is another surprising sort of film because at the opening, the main conceit of it is a bit difficult to take. This sort of, I think he's about 12. The boy, his name is Zain. He's decided to sue his parents for bringing him into the world. So that's a bit hard to take, but gradually she makes it work. He has come up in Beirut, which is a very cruel place to be a kid, and his parents are really not that they haven't looked after him. And the last straw comes when his younger sister is kind of not sold, but into this arranged marriage with this creepy man who's a bit older than her. So he leaves, and he sort of finds a family of his own. And so what starts as something you think, can I accept this, becomes this really colourful, funny film about, a very tough part of the world. It's a very interesting film.
Okay, that's Capernaum, and that's one of the ones up for Best Foreign Language Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
By the way, is Roma up for Best Foreign Language Oscar nomination?
No, and there's been some talk about that, because then what does that mean? I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. My only problem with Roma, which is a brilliant film, would be that it didn't really get a cinema release. It got a tiny
cinema release in the California area to be allowed to be in the thing.
Well, it did. It was shown in cinemas here as well.
Yeah,
it was shown in one cinema here, but really briefly. And that would be my only problem, but I mean, otherwise a fabulous film. But yeah, people are saying, oh, hang on, what's this best foreign language thing? I think the best foreign language category is great because films not in the English language get seen on a bigger stage, so
yeah,
there's
silly restrictions too. You can only have one from each language.
Yeah, it's a silly restriction.
A bit daft.
And in fact, they could have 10 and they choose 5. There's no reason not to choose 10.
Well, all the best ones could easily be from Israel, and there you go.
Yeah, it's a kind of conceit. Yeah.
So will you stay up tomorrow night and watch the whole thing?
I would say I will stay up and watch some of it, but it's going to be a bizarre one because, although I might be asked to write about it, so I may end up having to, but it's going to be a bizarre one because there's all this rumour about Whoopi Goldberg. Is she going to be the sort of ghost host, because there's no actual host?
Whoopi Goldberg and ghost.
If there's no actual host, it's going to be very difficult to hold the thing together, and they're all going to be walking on eggshells like they were last year, being careful about what they say, so it could be rather dull. Also impossible to predict who's going to do well. I thought The Favourite was a while ago. Now I'm not so sure. I think that Roma seems to be the one everybody's thinking is going to win big, but it's hard to say.
Right. Actually, I must tell you that my best friend, that's a great phrase, was Whoopi Goldberg's personal assistant for about 15 or 20 years from here in Dublin. And
really?
The day getting her out to do the Oscars in the past, just to get her out of the house in terms of all the palaver and all the limos, just to get there on time.
Some job, though.
It was just the funniest thing. It's a story. It's a book in itself.
She was good at it.
If she, I suppose so. Well, I don't know what's going to happen about it all. But I mean, anyway.
Sarah Silverman to do the Hollywood.
With all due respect, I know people will watch it 9:30 probably on Monday night on RT2, which will be 2 hours, and that's the 2 hours that's given to you by the Academy, whether you like it or not.
It's enough. 3.5 hours.
It's not really.
Jesus.
Because it's the other bits that they don't give you because they don't want any controversy that are the best bits sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be watching it.
It's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, indeed it is. All right, Paul Whittington, that is, from the Indo. Thanks a million, Paul, for dropping in.
Thanks, Dave.